Welcome to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches and a production of the 224 Ecospace, where changemakers work, create, and lead.
Give myself away. So you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can. Come on, let him know. I give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. What would happen if a generation embraced this? Come on, tell them, here I am.
Here I am. Here I stand.
Come on, tell him one more time.
Give myself away.
Can you? together, we fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up. Oh yes, for a saint is just a sinner who fell down, but we couldn't stay there and got up. Say now,
we fall down,
over
but
mind.
We get up.
Get back
we
up.
Fall down.
Yeah,
but we get up,
back up again.
We fall down.
Oh my,
but
my, we get back up again.
For us, saints,
yes we are.
The sinner,
oh yes we are.
Down.
But we can't stay there.
No.
There's a seed of righteousness inside of you. Oh,
we fall down.
Say now.
But
we get back up again.
We fall down
sometimes, but we get back up again. Yes, we do that. Rise back up again.
For the
saints,
just
sinners.
Come on, come on. Baby, dub, baby, baby. Hey, hey. say with walking you can't go wrong. No. Why should you rush your way through life? No. You won't get very far running all the time.
Look at me, I'm trying every day. I fall down, make mistakes, get back up, try again. Next time that you save me.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, 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 oh. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. But just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hell. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. If we just let it be. Na, 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Change it, yeah, just you and me. Change it, yeah. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, y'all. Y'all.
Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone. Yeah, yeah. Wake up, everybody. Wake up, everybody. Need a little help, y'all.
Yes, I do.
Need a little help.
Say it for
me. Need some help, y'all.
I'll
change the world. Do it alone.
Do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Wake up, everybody. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. Wake up. Come on. Come on. Wake up, everybody. Teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen what you have to say. Come on. together. Yeah.
High school students drop out every school day. That's one every 26 seconds. So here's a 26-second message of encouragement.
Hi, I'm Stacy. Look, you know, I've been there. It's tough. And I just want to say, if you find yourself feeling negative, use it as motivation. Let it be like the fuel in the fire to keep you going. Because the best is yet to come. Seriously, you're capable of great things, things you probably haven't even dreamed of yet. So don't quit now. See you at graduation.
Do you have 26 seconds to convince a student to stay at their desk? Now you can share your message of support at boostup.org. We can keep students in school. Visit boostup.org and take the first step. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer and meditation. Gracious and loving God, maker and creator of all that is and was and will be, we come to you with thanksgiving for your love. You have shown us the power of relatedness and relationship. Help us each to grow so deep in that love that we will use the power of love and the essence of you to transform our circumstances and our world. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Our scripture lesson this day comes from the book of Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. And I'll be reading from the New International Version of the scripture. It reads thusly, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. With this in mind, the title of the message is simply this, A Love That Won't Let Go. A Love That Won't Let Go. A story is told about an 88-year-old man by the name of Robert who had been married to his beloved wife, Hannah, for 68 years. Anyone who knew the couple knew that it was an epic love story, for the two met on V-Day in 1945 when he was an American soldier rescuing Jewish prison camp survivors, and Hannah was a young woman that he set free. When Robert tells the story, his face still lights up, for he said that Hannah, that first time he saw her, was love at first sight. And she was definitely a gift from God. Yes, it's hard to believe because the starvation that those who were in the camp experienced had left her in horrific shape, in a state of skin and bones. But Robert always liked to say there was something in Hannah's eyes that caused him to be drawn to her. Hannah would often say that when she first saw Robert, she was afraid, for she didn't know if the soldiers were friends or foes, but with the kind of compassion and gentleness that was in his personality showed, she knew that he would look out for her and she had nothing to fear. It seems that Hannah had lost her entire family. Her mother had died of starvation the week before rescue, so since Hannah had no family to speak of and no place to go, a few weeks later, she accepted his proposal to be his wife, and 8 months later, she found herself living in New York City with a promise of loving protection, provision, and devotion. Robert promised to always take care of Hannah, and if Robert were actually here, he would tell you that the early years were tough with Hannah. She lived in constant fear and doubt, but Robert, because of his faith, remained true to his word and gave her a good life and provided for her and their children. And so as time went on, the children grew up and they had grandchildren and great-grandchildren who are now going forward and grown, and Robert retired from teaching and settled into a life around the house. As the years went by, Robert started to see Hannah's eyes grow dim and the memories slip away. And when he got to the place where she no longer remembered how to get home and she no longer recognized the children and she set too many fires in the house for not remembering to turn off the stove, he had to make the toughest decision of his life by giving up their home with its beautiful rose garden that she loved and moving with her to an assisted living facility that promised around-the-clock care and locked floors. But even in the face of this challenge, Robert had a fearless love and devotion for Hannah that would not let go. Yes, he could have remained at home and sent her on her way, but he said independence at home would not be home at all because Hannah would not be there. Early one morning, Robert had a doctor's appointment with the young new physician in residence that ran behind schedule. To everyone's surprise, he was particularly agitated because he told the doctor he was running late for a very important appointment. The doctor couldn't understand what kind of important appointment he could possibly have since he lived on site. So the doctor asked Robert what was going on, and he told the doctor that every morning he had breakfast with Hannah at 9 a.m. right afterwards, and he helped her get dressed and wash up for the day. The doctor was dismayed because she knew and treated Hannah, who had advanced stage dementia, and there was no way she even knew who Robert was or what time it was or even who she was or who she used to be because of the ravages of the disease. So the doctor asked Robert why he was so worried about being late, since Hannah didn't even know who he was or have the capacity to even know that he was late. With that, Robert turned to the young doctor and said, "Doctor, you're at a place in your life where you can't even begin to understand. You see just another old woman in the bed who can't walk or talk or feed herself. And I see my best friend of almost 70 years and the mother of my children. I care because I know who she is to me, and I have a love that won't let go." We are living in times when many in this generation have the idea of love twisted. It seems we've reached a place where some folks think it's okay to treat people as disposable, as if the person, if they lose their job or they gain weight or don't do exactly what we want, some of us act as if we can just throw the person away and pick up another one. Over and again, we see this new genre of television programming where young people go off into a house and live there and think they can choose a lover for life during the course of a half-hour weekly program. Popular culture tries to convince us that love is an easy hookup. Love just clicks in a snap and requires no effort at all. Love is what feels good or looks good. And when it no longer feels good or looks good, we kick it to the curb and we walk away. I can recall a conversation I had with a pastor friend of mine who had journeyed with a couple from his congregation that struggled in their love. You see, one of his devoted, faithful members had breast cancer and had to have a mastectomy. Once she recovered from surgery, things had changed radically in her marriage. Her husband of more than 30 years told her that he no longer found her attractive and wasn't sure he wanted to stay married to her anymore because he found a new, younger coworker more appealing and more attractive than his wife. You see, her husband was the kind of man who liked to keep up appearances. He liked things of status in his life. But in faith, they entered counseling and struggled through that tough season of their lives. And even though there was hurt and betrayal, they found the grace they needed to stay together. And just when things seemed to have turned the corner, her husband had a severe stroke, and she was the one that took care of him till he died, all because she had a love for him that wouldn't let go. Many of us think that love should just be the fairy tale where things fall into place. It's a go with the flow kind of thing that should just click. But this attitude keeps us from realizing that love is a spiritual journey that involves a lot of mental, physical, and emotional work. Staying in love and relationship with another is a spiritual journey that we don't often hear about. Yes, we see those around us who have stayed together for 10, 20, 30, or 50 years, but unless you've been on that journey, it's hard to understand its spiritual nature. See, that kind of love is supernatural. It's about humility, surrender, devotion, and sacrifice. That kind of love is deeper than many of us are willing to acknowledge. You see, God is love. God, the Creator, made us with God-sized holes for love. Take a look around your life and consider every person that you meet to be a person who wants to be loved. Each of us are made to be loved and to love each other. Everyone wants close relations and friends. Everyone desires a special someone, and everyone desires a supernatural kind of love for the divine. Whether one is spiritual and not religious, whether you're atheist or agnostic, God made each one of us with a desire for love. And God is love. We each have been made for love, but many of us live life only scratching the surface, where we avoid the full depth of love out of fear. And thus, we never fully live. We each have been made for love. This is our life. Life was crafted for expressions of love. Life is not a dress rehearsal. This is it. Only in life with love are we fully alive. True love involves taking risks, putting yourself out there, getting involved. True love involves faith and trust that God will bring you through that risk. True love means loyalty and a tenacity where we have a love that won't let go. True love gives us each the chance to be fully alive. So why are you hiding? Why are you holding back? What are you saving yourself from or for? Howard Thurman was a theologian, a pastor, a mystic, and the dean of Rankin Chapel at Howard University before he founded one of the first intentional multicultural churches in the country. He once said, "Don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come fully alive, and then go and do that. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive." Today, expand your capacity for love, because when you come fully alive, it is living as if you have a love that won't let go. Amen. You have been listening to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches.
Hello, everyone. This is Anna Ortiz, and I'm here with Fernanda.
Hello.
Fernanda's story is one everybody should hear. That's why I'm helping to lend my voice. Now, what happened, Fernanda?
Well, I'm the wife of a teacher. Recent budget cuts meant there wasn't enough to provide for our three young children, with another on the way. I picked up part-time work, and we did everything we could, but we really struggled to make ends meet. We realized we had to swallow our pride and ask for help. The food bank kept us afloat during some hard times. I'm just glad we had somewhere to turn to.
Today, 1 in 6 Americans don't know where their next meal is coming from. Fernanda here could be your neighbor, your coworker, or your friend. She's just like you, and you probably don't even know she's struggling. But you can make a difference in Fernanda's life today. Visit feedingamerica.org/hunger and find your local food bank to help.
I'm Fernanda.
And I'm Ana Ortiz. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Let the kings worship the Lord. Let me hear your words of worship. Let me hear your words of worship. Come on, y'all, talk to them.
come.
You come from royalty.
It's an aristocratic.
An aristocratic dynasty.
Listen, the goal of the enemy.
The goal of the
to keep you from knowing who you are. But I came to tell you that there's power when you speak. So be mindful of the words you release. See, I know that life has challenged you, but the King in me came to speak to the King in you. You were born to rule, and I came to tell you. Let the kings worship him today. Let the kings worship him. Come on, y'all, let's say it one more time.
You come from royalty.
It's an aristocratic dynasty. The number one goal of the enemy is to keep you from knowing who you are. But I came to tell you that there's power when you speak. So be mindful of the words you release. See,
I know
that life has thrown you some curves, but the King in me, the ruler in me came to speak to the ruler in you. You were born to rule. And you need to know that there is a King in you. What has happened? The head has become the tail. The lender has become the borrower. What has happened to you? We speak to you today. Is there no King in you? You cry out like a woman in travail. Is there no King living in you? Then why do you speak with such low self-esteem? My inner King, and I came to help you find your inner King. You were born to rule, and you need to know that there is a King. I know that some of you have been molested. I know that some of you have been struggling. I know that some of you have been talked about. I know that some of you have got lower self-esteem, but I came to tell you that there is a King in you. I know that some of you are struggling with addictions. I know that some of you are struggling with financial issues. I know that some of you don't feel like you're smart. You don't feel like you look good. You don't feel like you got what it takes. But I came to tell you that there's a King in you. I know you don't feel well. I know you don't think you look the part. I know that you don't think you got the skills. But I came to tell you that there is a King in you. If there's a King in you, I want you to stand up and let me know you're out there. Where are the kings tonight? Where are the kings? Forget about what you've been through. You are a King.
Hey,
let the kings rejoice. Let the kings rejoice. You are successful. The King is living in you. The Word is in you. Praise Him because
there is a King in you.
You will make it. You are forever a lender, never a I know that life has made you feel bad about yourself. I know that some of the things you've been through has made you feel bad about yourself. But you need to know that there is a ruler in you. There is what has happened. The enemy has tricked you and made you feel like that you are beneath. He's tricked you and made you feel like that you are a borrower and never will be a lender. But Donald Lawrence came to tell you that there is a king in you. There is a king in you. There is a king in you. I can't stress it enough. There is a king living in you. Rule, ruler, rule. Speak, king, speak. Stand, king, stand. Take control, king, take control. Rule, rule, rule. You have your men.
30,000 square feet. What would you do with that kind of possibility? Would you strategize your future? Or get lost in the past? Will you fill it with stories? Or use it to empty your mind? Would you explore your spirituality? Or focus on improving your community? Will you use it to work late? Or just work it? Could you create lasting impressions? Or a brief, delicious one? Our vision for the 224? 30,000 square feet of endless possibilities.
Hallelujah. Young people, there's nothing wrong with dancing for Jesus. But we can't forget where we come from. So if you don't mind, let's have a little church right now.
Something about that name.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Listen.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Yes, it is the sweetest,
sweetest
name.
Sweetest, sweetest name I know.
Come on and lift your hands and say it.
It is the sweetest, sweetest name. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know.
Listen to this right here.
Some people say I'm crazy, but I can't explain.
No, no.
The power that I feel, oh, when I call your name.
When I call your name.
Said it's just like fire. Oh, oh, shut up in my bones.
Oh, oh,
yeah, the Holy Ghost is moving here.
Yes, it is.
And it just won't leave me alone. I got something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something about the name.
Yes, it is.
Something about the name.
Yes,
it is. I know.
Been listening to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches and a production of the 224 Ecospace. Reach out to us and tell us what you think. Look for Rich Answers, the Conference of Churches, and me, Reverend Dr. Shelley Bess, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Like us, follow us, share us.